Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
What happens when the world's largest tropical wetland becomes an inferno, along with the far north forests, all up in smoke? Devastating droughts, floods, fires, mass contamination, both atmospheric and surface, crop collapse, fisheries collapse, mass starvation, endless wars based on the pretext of events the controllers knew were coming, climate engineering, the list goes on. And it's getting bigger by the day. If you're willing to face bad news head on, you're on the right channel. But not to worry. Thanksgiving and the holidays are here. Time to feed the normalcy bias epidemic with nonstop, mindless matrix media. How incredibly true all of this is, especially in the USSA. Don't look up, lest you take notice of the epitome of human hubris, playing God with the weather. Are indigenous communities caught up in the, quote, Thanksgiving holiday? Mass consumption mayhem. I think not. My lineage, my Choctaw ancestors, and the Trail of Tears, that's the history of the indigenous all over the world. Where's the current course of the human race leading us all? How close is that destination? How many have the courage to fully face the wider horizon? How many would rather keep their heads buried in the sand until the last possible moment, the moment of impact at full velocity, which now draws perilously near? Global ecological collapses beat the controllers to the proverbial intersection. Their desperation is now more shockingly evident than ever before. Question, was humanity's end determined from the very start of our so-called success as a species? Stay tuned. I'll get to that question later in this installment of the Bad News Broadcast. First, in regard to the horrific carnage occurring in the Middle East, this new headline from Newsweek. Israel committing, quote, textbook case of genocide, Holocaust historian states. From this Newsweek report, an Israeli historian and Holocaust scholar has called how Israel is treating Palestinians in Gaza, quote, a textbook case of genocide. Israel has bombed the Gaza Strip since Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, flattening buildings in the besieged territory of about 2.3 million. Israel has also cut off the flow of food, medicine, water, and electricity into Gaza, including to hospitals. More than a million people fled their homes ahead of the Israeli invasion. Yes, they were told to go south into southern Gaza, which is now also being bombed. There's no safe place in Gaza. The Newsweek report then states, the Gaza Health Ministry now says that at least 14,000 Palestinians have been killed, and many more times that wounded. Over 6,000 children are among the dead. Genocide is defined in the December 1948 United Nations Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide as acts committed with, quote, intent to destroy in whole or in part a nation, ethical, racial, or religious group. The Newsweek report then states, Israeli leaders and officials have made their intent clear, noting Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant's comments about fighting human animals. That's a quote, fighting human animals. And Israeli Defense Forces spokesman Daniel Hagari saying that, quote, emphasis is on the damage and not the accuracy, end quote. So there you have it. For any that have summoned the courage to overcome bias, preconception, and power structure programming, genociding of the Palestinian people, as even Newsweek just admitted, again, put into motion from an event that Israel absolutely knew was coming, and that, according to former Israeli military, was allowed to take place as a premise for what's now being carried out. Again, the Egyptian government officially warned Israel days before, and there's more to that story. I'll get to that. From TheIntercept.com, this, Israel responds to Hamas crimes by ordering mass war crimes in Gaza. From The Intercept report, years of impunity for Israel crimes against civilians have bred a culture of disregard for international law. The Intercept report also confirmed the following. Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, used genocidal language and ordered mass war crimes in the occupied Gaza Strip. Gallant said that he had ordered, quote, a complete siege of the Gaza Strip, which is home to 2.2 million Palestinians, nearly half of them children. The Intercept then confirmed the following Israeli defense minister statement, quote, there will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. We are fighting, quote, human animals, and we act accordingly, end quote. Just stop for a moment. Think about that statement from the Israeli defense minister. We are fighting human animals. And does that include the 6,000 children that have already been killed? Are they human animals? I grieve just as much for the Israelis that have met their end in this carnage. But the Israeli government knew this was coming, and how come no one is focusing on that fact? What Gallant, again the Israeli defense minister, ordered, the collective punishment of a civilian population, amounts to a war crime under the international laws, as well as potentially a crime against humanity and the crime of genocide. The Intercept.com report continues. Experts have noted that Israel's practice of, quote, warning civilians, like Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's call on Gaza's residents to, quote, leave now because we will operate forcefully everywhere, end quote, isn't sufficient. There's nowhere for the people of Gaza to seek safety, which is one of the most densely populated areas, by the way, in the entire world. The Israeli-imposed air, land, and sea blockade on the Gaza territory, which was put into effect in 2007, trapped Gazans in what amounts to an open-air prison. The Intercept report then states, war crimes fall under the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court, which in 2021 opened an investigation on war crimes and crimes against humanity in the occupied Palestinian territories. These charges against Israel, of course. The investigation prompted fierce opposition by Israel and the United States, neither of which are members of the court, for obvious reasons, and thus this effort has largely stalled. As human rights advocates and international law experts have long warned, impunity for war crimes leads to more of the same. Amnesty International wrote this, Israel has a horrific track record of committing war crimes with impunity in previous wars on Gaza. They continue, for decades, Palestinians have been calling on the international community to take concrete and meaningful actions beyond empty statements of condemnation to put an end to these violations. The Center for Human Rights and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights wrote in an open letter to the United Nations, quote, the international community's lack of political will to hold Israel to account only emboldens Israel to continue committing crimes against the Palestinian people as a whole, end quote. And I know this is very polarizing information for so many, but all I'm asking is for honest investigation and that not mindless, knee-jerk program responses based on what the Matrix media has been pumping out for decades. From Al Jazeera, Israel doubles number of Palestinian prisoners to 10,000 in 2 weeks. Since October 7th, Israel has arrested 4,000 from Gaza and more than 1,000 people in the occupied West Bank, Palestinian officials say. Palestinian lawyers and officials have highlighted the severe mistreatment and dire conditions under which detainees are being arrested and held. There's more to this story. Prisoners are subjected to starvation and thirst. They are prevented from accessing their medicine, specifically for those suffering from chronic illnesses that require regular medication, adding that matters became worse when the prison administration cut off water and electricity. This is Guantanamo on a scale exponentially larger. 10,000 hostages held by Israel without charges. Also reported, the prevention of access to medicine. They also shut down the prison clinics and also prevented prisoners from going to hospitals and external clinics, despite the presence of some cancer patients among the prisoners who require continuous treatment. This statement, again, from the human rights group. The most dangerous thing, they continued, were physical attacks and degrading treatment. They said everyone who is arrested is assaulted. Many of the prisoners have had their limbs, hands, and legs broken. Degrading and insulting expressions, insults, cursing, tying them with handcuffs to the back and tightening them at the end to the point of causing severe pain, naked, humiliating, and group search of the prisoners. Again, Guantanamo for Israel on a scale exponentially larger than the U.S. Guantanamo. More from the Intercept.com report. During periods of, quote, calm, under Israel's 56-year military occupation, 15 to 20 people are arrested on a daily basis. The arrests take place through surprise military raids on Palestinian homes at dawn, humiliating searches of family members and their homes, destruction of property and belongings, as well as verbal and physical abuse. This is all extremely well documented, by the way, on film, many documentaries on the subject for those that have the courage to find them and view them. Palestinians being held inside Israeli prisons and detention centers are effectively cut off from the world. More from the report. Palestinians from the Gaza Strip are being held under the, quote, unlawful combatants law, which allows Israeli authorities to detain Palestinians indefinitely without judicial review. On October 13th, Israel amended the law to make it even easier to arrest Palestinians on mere suspicion. The unlawful combatants law is the equivalent of administrative detention in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem, which allows Israel to hold Palestinians from those areas indefinitely under, quote, secret evidence. Question, does that sound in any way lawful or moral? Secret evidence? Would Americans accept it if the Mexican or Canadian military came across our border in the middle of the night and took what amounted to hostages, no charges, with their official message to Americans being, we can and will hold these hostages for as long as we want, even without charges, because we can? Are there any Americans that would accept that? I think not. Final reminders before I transition to the bottom line of biosphere collapse on which all is connected, including the events in the Middle East. Netanyahu and Israel financially supported Hamas since 2006. Much of the funding went through Qatar. This is on the record. Netanyahu stated on the record that Hamas was needed to ensure that there would, quote, never be a two-state solution. Hamas training camps were within sight of the Israeli apartheid wall, the most monitored border barrier in the world, for almost 2 years prior to their attack. Almost 2 years, and no one saw it. Hamas was posting about their coming attack for almost 2 months beforehand, and no one noticed. The Israeli government disarmed citizen militias in the Hamas attack area almost a month ahead of time. Why? The Egyptian government officially warned the Israeli government days before the October 7th attack. Why did Netanyahu and the Israeli military and Israeli law enforcement not only do nothing, but clearly left the entire region of the attack completely abandoned for nearly 7 hours on the day of the attack, thus allowing the very primitive Hamas force to blow 15 separate holes in the border wall and then to drive outdated pickup trucks and old motorcycles through the border barrier, snapping selfies all the way. And let's not forget the high-tech Hamas Air Force, lawnmower engine-powered hang gliders, the most advanced military in the world, Israel, that claims it can have U.S.-made Apache attack helicopters in the air within 5 minutes of any border breach, did exactly nothing for almost 7 hours with all this going on? What's wrong with this picture? And when the Israeli military finally did show up, after most of the Hamas attackers had already returned to Gaza, unhindered, with hostages, the Israeli military then utilized what they term, quote, the Hannibal objective, which means attack and kill any and all remaining Hamas, even if they had Israeli hostages. Israeli civilians that were present at these exchanges of fire have stated on the record that the Israeli military was responsible for numerous Israeli civilian deaths. Please, don't believe me. Please investigate from independent sources this verifiable information. It's not hard to find. Again, this question, how many Americans know that Israel is holding over 10,000 Palestinian hostages, including women and children? Next question, how many Americans would care, even if they did know? So much of the Middle East mayhem that's either not being told or being lied about to a degree that's beyond criminal. Is the killing of journalists part of the problem? Here's three new headlines on that subject, all from this week. From the UK Guardian, Israel-Hamas war is deadliest conflict on record for reporters, say Watchdog. From Reuters, Gaza strikes kill family members of journalists targeted by death threats. From Al Jazeera, Israel strike kills three journalists near Lebanon border. There are many more headlines on this theme, but you get the idea. And most of these journalists are already verified to have been killed by Israeli airstrikes. Since the attack of October 7th, Israeli officials, including Netanyahu, have stated on film and on the record their objective of eliminating Gaza and everyone that resides there. How many know about the extensive hydrocarbon reserves under Gaza and offshore from Gaza? How many know about the proposed new shipping canal route that is slated to go through Gaza? How many know the historically verifiable facts surrounding the entire Israeli-Palestinian saga? How many know anything about the true history of this region other than what the U.S. mainstream media ministry of propaganda has told them? How many even care to know the truth now, let alone to lift a finger to help expose it? Time for many to take a long look in the mirror and into the eyes of their children while contemplating the 6,000 plus Palestinian children that have already been killed in Gaza, under the cloak of an event that Israeli leaders absolutely knew was coming. The controllers of the Matrix, those behind the curtain, don't care about Israelis or Gazans or Ukrainians or anyone else. The true controllers, aka those who print the money, care only about their own demented agendas and objectives. This has always been the case. Deep and endless deception is their most prized weapon of complete control. Time to wake up. If not now, we won't reach tomorrow. These are indeed dark days on planet Earth, and above it all, the weather warfare rages on over the heads of generally oblivious populations. But these populations must be awakened, or we have no chance. Next, about the military-industrial complex, from starsandstripes.com, the following headline this week, quote, "This was not a surprise. Pentagon again fails annual audit of $3.8 trillion in military assets." Question, could covert climate engineering operations be a big part of where the black ops money is going? Will the criminals that line the ranks of the military-industrial complex ever admit to their crimes? That blank isn't hard to fill in. Here's another not-so-happy headline, this one from USA Today. U.S. military says national security depends on, quote, forever chemicals. Yes, the same PFAS forever chemicals that recent science studies now confirm are in every single drop of rain everywhere in the world, from the North Pole to the South Pole to the top of Mount Everest. This means every bite of food, every bit of water, with a few deep well exceptions. It means these chemicals that our, quote, national security depends on are not going to be given up by the controllers, nor are they going to stop with their campaigns of endless wars, which they tell us is the only way to peace. Welcome to the world of Orwell's 1984. These forever chemicals, which the U.S. military says our security depends on, are not only harming us, they are also decimating the planet's remaining life support systems, along with the entire remaining web of life that completely depends on those systems, including our own lives. Again, question, what quantity of these forever chemicals are being sprayed into our skies as part of a global climate engineering operations? For the record, the U.S. military machine, statistically, is the world's largest single source polluter. Please don't believe me. Please investigate for yourself. And this question, why does the U.S. military have nearly 800 bases on foreign soil in everyone else's country or on their border? This is why. It's called empire and the pursuit of resources that the empire must have to sustain itself. And how many Americans are there that don't want the loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute party to end? How many are there that feel fine about the U.S. military boot being on the neck of other countries, so long as their personal paradigm is kept going at any cost to anyone, anywhere? This equation is wrong. It always has been. But its end draws near, one way or another. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, the End of the World as We Know It broadcast, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of global climate engineering operations, a.k.a. weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We can, we must, reach a critical mass by starting a conversation on climate engineering that leads people to a credible source of data geoengineeringwatch.org will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. Moving on, more bad news. Question, does the sun feel increasingly intense on your skin, on surfaces? It's not your imagination. New from the UK Daily Mail, yet more confirmation of what geoengineeringwatch.org has stated on the record for almost 15 years, while so-called climate science academicians have continued to lie and deny. Here's the headline. Ozone hole has been, quote, remarkably massive over the past 4 years. Scientists warn gap over Antarctica is larger and deeper than ever before and say that CFCs aren't the only things to blame. No, they're not. Climate engineering core of this equation. The Daily Mail report continues. UN report this year claimed the ozone hole was on track to become mended, but the report says a new study claims it's too large, despite the ban on chemicals that were thought to cause it. The report then states, quote, the ozone hole has been remarkably massive over the last 4 years. This is from scientists from New Zealand, and they have now revealed this in their report. The authors of this new study claim there's been a 26% loss in the core of the ozone hole in the past 19 years alone. But again, they're not sure why. The fact the hole is still growing without the impact of CFCs is a cause for concern, they say. Think a cause for concern? No ozone layer, no terrestrial life, and likely little to no aquatic life. Yeah, it's cause for concern. I would say so. Final excerpt from the report. Most major communications about the ozone layer over the last few years have given the public the impression that the ozone issue has been solved, which, of course, couldn't be further from the truth. For the record, climate engineering operations and all that they entail, including frequency transmissions, are the single greatest ozone layer destroying factor of all. Search the ozone destruction section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more. And remember, no functional ozone layer, no people. Simple. What else is Matrix Media masking from public view while they distract the majority with every imaginable form of consumerism and mindless entertainment? Let's start with this. The Amazon region continues to burn. Almost none, especially in first world nations, have any clue that the fate of the planet is in the balance. When the world's largest tropical wetlands are burning to the ground in the rainy season, the alarm bells should be going off. From AP News, fires in Brazil threaten jaguars, houses, and plants in the world's largest tropical wetland. Next, from CBS News, out-of-control wildfires are ravaging Brazil's wildlife-rich Pantanal wetlands. Next headline, same theme, atypical fire, a.k.a. not normal, in the Pantanal wetlands in November, alarms and surrounds residents amid drought. For those that are unfamiliar with the Pantanal region, the Pantanal is the world's largest tropical wetland area and the world's largest flooded grassland region. It's located mostly within Brazil, but it extends into portions of Bolivia and Paraguay. And now it's going up in smoke. The incineration of one of the planet's most important ecosystems has been ongoing, and yet almost none have a clue. Going back to mid-October, this headline from the New York Times, as mentioned at the start of this broadcast, the world's largest tropical wetland has become an inferno. There were 2,387 fires in the Pantanal in the first 13 days of November alone, an increase of more than 1,000% from the month of November 2022, from 1 year ago. The lungs of the planet are going up in smoke. Northern latitude boreal forests, the same. This reminder on that front, 72,000 square miles incinerated in Canada this year alone. That's larger than the state of Georgia or Florida. If we remain in the current course, we won't be here much longer, any of us. It's not speculation. It's mathematical certainty. From the UK Guardian, deforestation has big impact on regional temperatures, study of Brazilian Amazon shows. Why is that a surprise, and why do we need a massive scientific panel to come to that conclusion? They say research highlights benefits forests bring surrounding regions in terms of cooler air and more rainfall. Obviously, many people don't know that rain falls where forests grow. It's not just that forests grow where rain falls. The reverse is true as well. We always thought, the report says, this might be happening, but the extent is bigger than we expected. again, from the scientists. It's worse than we expected, bigger than we expected, more catastrophic than we expected. The so-called science community now constantly admitting that everything is, quote, worse than they expected. And when you cut down all the trees in a forest, what happens to the wildlife? Forever etched into my mind is film footage that I've seen of a mother orangutan holding her baby and clinging to the top branches of the last tree in a completely decimated section of formerly thriving forest, with loggers and their heavy equipment waiting at the base of the tree, apparently for the order to knock it down. And I will never, ever forget this image. I keep it in my field of vision always, like many other images of the same theme, human insanity. It drives me forward day in and day out to expose it, all of it, or to die trying. For the record, every year it's estimated that between 1,000 to 5,000 miraculous orangutans are killed in palm oil plantations alone, where they level forests for those plantations. This is a significant portion of the last remaining wild orangutan population, which is lost without fail every single year, between 1,000 and 5,000. Also, for the record, sustainable palm oil doesn't exist. Palm oil companies clear huge swaths of the world's most biodiverse forests, and now they are gone forever, along with the miraculous intelligent orangutans and the rest of the web of life that once lived in these rainforests, now gone forever. But hey, who cares? It's Thanksgiving, with Christmas right around the corner, and then New Year's Day. Football games, beer, pizza, and parties. Based on all available data and the multitude of factors that are already past the breaking point and the tipping points that have already been breached, this may very well be the last Walmart Christmas. 2024 will likely be a year of challenges that very few are even willing to yet contemplate. The U.S. Matrix Media Ministry of Propaganda continues to practice a nearly complete blackout of critically important news from around the world. Here's one example. Although this is from CBS, it's a headline for the back pages, but not televised on any platform with any significant reach. They don't want any bad PR for the controllers, after all. Here's the headline. The, quote, polluter elite are disproportionately driving climate change, a.k.a. climate collapse, according to a new report, with the wealthiest 1% of people in the world putting out as much carbon pollution as the poorest two-thirds in the world. And about this headline, let's not forget it's this top 1% of the wealth pyramid that conceal the climate engineering operations, which holds all of our near-term existence in the balance. But is it just the 1% causing all the problems? No. First, they couldn't do what they do without the active or passive support of the majority population. And next, there's this from the UK Guardian, revealed the huge climate impact of the middle classes. From that new report, the richest 10% of people in many countries cause up to 40 times more climate heating carbon emissions than the poorest 10% of their fellow citizens. That's according to data obtained by The Guardian. So it seems that there's plenty of blame to go around. Bottom line, industrialized, militarized, so-called society was never sustainable, not even close. Next puzzle piece. This is from grist.org. The world is careening toward 3 degrees of warming, UN says, ahead of climate conference. A new UN report sets the stage for high-stakes negotiations at COP28 later this month. First, for the record, unfiltered frontline data indicates we're already past 3.5 degrees C of warming since pre-industrial temperatures. And yes, the climate conference facades, this one to be directed by an Arab state oil industry executive. No conflict of interest there. And what is the true behind-the-scenes objective of the climate conferences? To force nations to continue cooperating with covert climate engineering operations and to keep business as usual until total collapse, which is coming soon in many forms. But many would ask, if the temperatures are getting so warm, what about this new headline from AccuWeather.com? Wintry chill to follow snowstorm in Denver into Thanksgiving weekend. AccuWeather then says, quote, dramatic temperature drop in store for Rockies and Plains. The report continues, abnormal warmth has been a theme across much of Colorado already in November. Through November 20th, Colorado Springs was 6.4 degrees Fahrenheit above average for the month, and Denver has recorded temperatures 7.1 degrees above the historical average for the month. The drop in temperatures expected across the Rockies and Front Ranges will be nothing short of dramatic, the report says. For the record, Denver is commonly used for this type of winter weather whiplash because Denver sits in a basin. Chemically ice-nucleated moisture creates a cold, dense layer of air that sinks to the surface, fills this basin, and they can create incredible temperature drops in recent years, as much as 70 degrees in less than 24 hours. It's truly astounding. So Denver is commonly used for this practice. Welcome to climate-engineered winter weather whiplash. Check the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more. And there's this new AccuWeather report. Thanksgiving Day forecast is rain-free for many, snowy for some, they say. West Coast is expected to be rain-free on Thanksgiving. Question, where's the West Coast rain being manipulated to? Alaska, steered up and over the ionosphere heater-induced clockwise rotating atmospheric high-pressure dome. And the result is this, sensationalized winter weather headlines that the controllers and the climate engineers use to confuse and divide populations in regard to the true extent of unfolding planetary meltdown. Here's one current example of the newly created Alaska headlines. This one from snowbrains.com. Anchorage, Alaska in midst of snowiest November since records begin. And there's this from the Kodiak Daily Mirror. The snowiest day in Alaska and potentially U.S. history? Question mark. And this while so much of the world is baking and burning? Welcome to climate engineering. The middle of last week saw yet another round of moisture from the record warm Gulf of Mexico pushed toward the U.S. Northeast, hit hard with chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations, which eventually produced scattered flurries, various forms of frozen material in the far Northeast. The climate engineers are ever more desperate to maintain pockets of surface cold on a world that is rapidly heating. Please search and view, again, the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn so much more. But will technology save us from ourselves? No. Another new headline from grist.org. Where could millions of EV batteries retire? Question mark. The headline then says, solar farms. From the report, a Southern California company is showing how repurposed EV batteries for stationary storage can extend their usefulness for several years. Really. This is more fantasy, wishful so-called solutions that aren't. Once an EV battery is at the end of its lifespan, there's little left to salvage before the highly toxic battery is destined for the dump. Renewable energy? Not so much. What is covered by the Matrix Media? From People Magazine, NASA plans to build houses on the moon by 2040. From that report, the U.S. Space Agency has partnered with ICON, that's an acronym, a pioneering construction company, to build dwellings on the moon using 3D printers and concrete made from space materials. Right. Sure they will. The report continues, NASA is about to make yet another giant leap for mankind. They then say more than 50 years after astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first person to walk on the moon as part of the Apollo 11 mission, the U.S. Space Agency is plotting another lunar visit, only this time it will reportedly be a permanent one. According to the New York Times, NASA believes that by 2040, Americans will be living in houses on the moon. It's hard to know how to respond to this. First, we should all question the official narrative that NASA astronauts were driving EV dune buggies on the moon over 50 years ago in the 1960s, but we've never been back. NASA has officially stated on the record that much or most of the moon landing film footage that they said they had was taped over. Why? Because NASA says film rolls are expensive and no one was watching them, so they just taped over them. Right. And there's this. Top NASA officials have officially stated, on the record, that we lost the technology to go to the moon. Wait, what? Yes, that's exactly what's been stated on film and on the record. And now we're expected to gulp down the colossal fairy tale that people are going to be living in 3D printed houses on the moon by 2040. There's no words for this published total nonsense from the so-called experts that we are taught trained and programmed from birth to blindly believe, and sadly, far too many still choose to do so. For the record, life forms, including astronauts, can't pass through the Van Allen radiation belts without significant lead shielding, too much lead shielding for even the Apollo rockets to carry. The Van Allen radiation belts surround the planet from about 1,000 kilometers to 12,000 kilometers, and the radiation in this zone is about 1,000 times higher than in space beyond the belts. And all of this fits in the same category as proposed space mirrors to block the sun, Brazil-sized balloons in space to do the same, covering the Earth's ice deposits with tarps, also to block the sun, putting 10 million wind-powered water pumps in the Arctic to bring cold deep-sea water to the surface. The list of ridiculous and idiotic proposals goes on and on, all actual proposals from the so-called science community. So, have we been lied to on a scale that can scarcely be comprehended on countless fronts, continuing to this day? You decide. And while pondering all that, take the time to look up. Take notice of the jet dispersions filling our skies with proven climate engineering elements. Yes, proven. View the geoengineeringwatch.org groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. With all that in mind, in summary, we're expected to believe the entire NASA ongoing deception, which has served the controllers by distracting populations through crimes like the Vietnam War, for example. While we're also expected to deny what anyone but the clinically blind can see with their own eyes, climate engineering operations in our skies. Back to biosphere collapse, which is being further fueled and manipulated by the ongoing climate engineering operations in question from Newsweek. Dozens killed as torrential rains pummel Dominican Republic and Haiti. From CTV News, tropical disturbance unleashes floods and landslides in Jamaica. From Bloomberg.com, flooded fields delay European sugar harvest and risk beet losses. We're seeing so many agricultural regions targeted with either flash floods, flash drought, flash freezes. Next, from CitizenPlanet.com, Kenya experiencing two extremes of drought and floods. Again, hallmark of climate engineering operations, drought, flood scenarios. From AP News, death toll from floods in Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia rises to 130. Also from AP News, severe storms in Turkey leave 9 dead. 11 are still missing after a cargo ship sank in the Black Sea from this storm. From Nature.com, record-breaking heat set to hit southern hemisphere as summer begins. From BBC, more record heat in Brazil, and it's still nearly a month from the official start of summer. Listen to this. Brazil records its hottest ever temperature. And they had a heat index a week ago in Rio de Janeiro of 137.3 degrees, and now they recorded their hottest overall temperature. I think it was 112 or 14. And that's without heat index. I don't know how high the heat index would have been. They didn't publicize it in this article. Perhaps too high for them to want to share. From AccuWeather, dangerous severe weather, including tornadoes, to target southern U.S. A strengthening storm fueled by moisture from the record-warm Gulf of Mexico will ignite a significant round of severe weather, which will put lives and property in danger. But those Gulf of Mexico oil rigs remain untouched by any inclement weather. What a miracle. The flow of oil will continue unhindered. Just nature steering storms away from the drilling platforms? No, not nature. Climate engineering operations are easily seen on satellite imagery. From Salon.com, thanks to climate change, autumn will never be the same. From that report, fall weather is drastically changing thanks to global warming, aka global climate collapse. Fixing it, the report says, will require us to stabilize emissions. Too late for that. Far too late. And the report continues. Trees are holding onto their leaves longer. That's explained by Dr. Howard Diamond, senior climate scientist at NOAA's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Air Resource Laboratory. Question, did it take NOAA's senior scientist to tell us that? Are the climate engineers desperate enough to use defoliants in fall rains to force deciduous trees into dormancy, thus causing their leaves to die on trees and hang there dead until strong winds blow them off? Geoengineeringwatch.org has long since been working on this equation with extensive testing. More news to come on this soon, and you will not like that news. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 433, November 25th, 2023. This is Dane Wigginton, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of covert climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. The commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour is currently being aired on numerous AM and FM stations throughout the country. Recordings of this broadcast can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column. Please help us in our desperate effort to sound the alarm by helping us to share the groundbreaking geoengineeringwatch.org documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of The Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. I'm cutting this announcement a bit short so that I have time to cover perspectives that need to be stated and pondered, even if they are difficult to consider and unwanted by most. I'll start with this, a headline from collapse2050.com, which for the record should be collapse2025.com, if not sooner. Humanity's end was determined from the start. Was it? And is it? Let's take a trip to ponder what many may not have yet considered. Given the visible and recognized vastness of the known universe, it's mathematically possible that 1 billion intelligent civilizations exist. So why is it that there's no signs of these civilizations? Is it possible, or even likely, that all advanced civilizations are eventually destroyed by a, quote, great filter, a.k.a. a programmed propensity for self-extermination? Thus the following question. Is it probable that humanity is currently going through its great filter right now? Please follow me through this process as it's completely relevant and core to all that we hold dear and all that we face. First, let's examine this question, why alien life should exist. The Milky Way, our galaxy, is home to approximately 100 to 400 billion stars, and assuming that a portion of these stars are central to solar systems similar to our own, it's conceivable that the Milky Way could contain tens to hundreds of billions of such systems. Adding to this, the discovery of thousands of exoplanets, many found in systems with multiple planets through missions like Kepler and TESS. This reinforces the idea that planetary systems are common around stars, and that widespread occurrences of exoplanets suggest a significant majority of stars throughout the universe might host their own solar systems. Expanding this view to the larger cosmos, with an estimated 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, each potentially holding as many stars as the Milky Way on average, the numbers thus become even more astronomical. This implies a universe where hundreds of trillions to quadrillions of solar systems could exist, each with its own unique characteristics and potentially life-supporting conditions. To crudely estimate the number of solar systems with planets that have conditions favorable to life, let's use the higher end of the estimate, 1 quadrillion solar systems in the universe. Even if only 1% of these solar systems have planets with conditions favorable to life, there could potentially be up to 10 trillion solar systems with planets that have conditions conducive to life. Even if only 1% of the planets with conditions favorable to life actually developed life, from the 10 trillion potential life-supporting solar systems, this would imply that the existence of approximately 100 billion planets where life has potentially developed. Rudimentary life faces its own set of great filters, so let's exclude those that get eliminated early on and assume a portion reach an advanced state like on Earth. If just 1% of the planets with life are able to develop intelligent civilizations from the estimated 100 billion planets with life, this would suggest the potential existence of approximately 1 billion planets with intelligent civilizations across the universe. Now consider that the universe is believed to be approximately 13.8 billion years old, and it's believed life on Earth began approximately 3.5 to 3.8 billion years ago. If we consider the development of tools, the control of fire, and early forms of communications as indications of intelligence, then intelligent life in the form of the genus Homo, aka early humans, has been on Earth for approximately 2 million years. However, the more complex behaviors associated with modern humans have been evident for only about 50,000 years or more. Given the age of the universe, it would stand to reason that there has been ample opportunity for life similar to ours or more advanced than ours to develop. So if the probability of life elsewhere in the universe is so high, why have we never seen or heard from intelligent alien civilizations? This is referred to as the Fermi paradox. The Wikipedia definition of the Fermi paradox is the discrepancy between the lack of conclusive evidence of advanced extraterrestrial life and the apparently high likelihood of its existence. So, do all civilizations self-destruct? The Great Filter is a concept used to explain the Fermi paradox and why. That despite vast numbers of potentially habitable planets in the universe, there is no observed evidence of intelligent extraterrestrial life. The Great Filter concept refers to a hypothetical stage or stages in the evolution of life that are extremely difficult for life to surpass. The concept raises the question of whether there is some barrier that makes the emergence of complex life or advanced civilizations very rare and short-lived. These barriers could include the following: the emergence of life, the transition from non-living matter to living organisms, the development of single-celled life, the appearance of the first simple single-celled organisms, complex multicellular life, the evolution from simple single-celled organisms to complex multicellular organisms, the emergence of intelligent life and their eventual technologies, the development of species with higher intelligence and the ability to create sophisticated technology, and five, the ability to avoid self-destruction, overcoming internal and external threats that could lead to the extinction of intelligent life, such as nuclear war, environmental destruction, or catastrophic cosmic events. I want to take a moment to state for the record that from my personal perspective, the fact that life evolves in no way challenges my belief in a creator and what my ancestors would call the Great Spirit. The evolution of life into countless miraculous and symbiotic life forms absolutely solidifies my belief in a creator. Rationally, scientifically, the mathematical odds of all this occurring by mere chance is a statistical zero. As an explanation for the Fermi paradox, the Great Filter concept suggests that if intelligent life is rare in the universe, then at least one of these stages must be exceedingly rare also and difficult to achieve. This leads to two possibilities for the human race and civilization. That the filter is behind us. This would imply that one of the early steps in the evolution of life, such as the emergence of life itself or the transition to multicellular levels, is incredibly rare, and we are one of the few life forms to have made it through. Or the filter is ahead of us. This more concerning possibility and likelihood suggests that there is some future hurdle potentially related to the development of advanced technology or the ability to sustain a global civilization that is past the overshoot level that most intelligent life does not overcome. It is plausible that there are multiple filters, some of which are behind us, but that leaves one left. Again, for humanity, self-destruction. The potential for a civilization to self-destruct encompasses a variety of scenarios influenced by factors like technological advancement, social dynamics, environmental interactions, and governance structures. A nuclear war could, of course, obliterate civilization. Firstly, through its immediate catastrophic impacts, the detonation of nuclear weapons would result in the total destruction of targeted cities and regions, killing millions instantly, and demolishing essential infrastructure. The aftermath would be characterized by widespread death and suffering due to intense heat, blast effects, and radiation exposure. This would in turn result in overwhelming health crises, including severe burns, radiation sickness, and long-term conditions like cancer. The direct destruction of urban centers, communication networks, and essential services would disrupt the very fabric of social organization, leading to chaos and a breakdown in law and order. It's already unfolding, even without all this. Further exacerbating this devastation would be the long-term environmental and economic consequences. A nuclear winter triggered by smoke and soot from fires blocking sunlight would lead to a drastic drop in global temperatures, disrupting agriculture and leading to widespread famine. This environmental collapse would be coupled with breakdown of economic systems, and this is already occurring. We see on satellite imagery climate engineering operations targeting agricultural regions. We're there. Without nuclear holocaust, we are already nearly certain to hit the wall at full velocity. Global trade, financial markets, and supply chains would collapse, plunging the world into unprecedented economic depression, to say the very least. The cumulative effect of these impacts would be dismantling of the interconnected systems that sustain modern civilization, leading to its total collapse. The severity of these consequences underscores the existential threat posed by nuclear war. The bottom line existential threat will always be biosphere collapse. The total unraveling and destruction of the planet's remaining life support systems, which are already in the advanced stages of their demise, and this is accelerating exponentially. Climate and environmental collapse pose immediate existential threats to civilization and the entire web of life, primarily through the relentless degradation of ecosystems that underpin human life and society. As climate and ecological collapse accelerates, with global climate engineering operations further fueling the entire scenario, it leads to ever more extreme weather events like hurricanes, droughts, floods, and heat waves, which in turn have devastating impacts on agriculture, freshwater supplies, and human habitability. Again, weather warfare, core to that equation. These changes threaten food security worldwide, which is already occurring in dozens of countries around the world. Widespread famine and water scarcity is core to this equation. Furthermore, rising sea levels resulting from melting polar ice caps and glaciers will inundate coastal cities, displacing millions of people and causing unprecedented migration crises, i.e. mass flows of ecological collapse refugees, which is, of course, already well underway. Rising sea levels will sooner than almost any dare to imagine begin to inundate coastal nuclear power plants, triggering explosions and subsequent meltdowns, i.e. Fukushima times many. Game over. The loss of biodiversity and the collapse of ecosystems such as coral reefs, rainforests, further exacerbate these challenges, disrupting the natural services they provide, like pollination, climate regulation, and the purification of air and water. The secondary effects of these environmental changes will be equally catastrophic for civilization. As resources become scarce and habitable areas shrink, there's certain to be increased conflict over what remains, leading to wars and widespread social unrest. We're already there. Economic systems will collapse under the strain of these environmental challenges, leading to global economic instability and a rapid decline in living standards. Further, the psychological impact on individuals and societies facing the loss of their homes, livelihoods, and traditional ways of life will likely contribute to widespread mental health crises. And for the record, would it not be correct to state that many in the ranks of the human race are already in this category? You decide. In a world where the environmental foundations of civilization are crumbling, the social, economic, and political structures built upon them will also fail, thus leading to a collapse of civilization as we know it. The gradual interconnected nature of these changes makes them particularly insidious, as the accumulation of impacts will ultimately reach a tipping point beyond which recovery is impossible. For the record, that tipping point, in fact, many of them, are already in the rearview mirror. There's no going back. Again, the likelihood of nuclear war is intricately connected to climate collapse, with resource scarcity and conflict being key links. Climate change, aka climate collapse, exacerbates resource scarcity, particularly water and arable land, heightening geopolitical tensions and potentially involving nuclear armed states. But again, for the record, a nuclear Armageddon isn't needed to seal our collective fate. Short of a complete course correction, it's already baked into the equation. The moment a species learns to manipulate its environment for gain is the moment the clock starts ticking on its own demise. The great filter of self-destruction is a key feature of all intelligent life in our universe, and it's exceedingly unlikely for any civilization to pass through successfully. The experiment of intelligent life on Earth has run its course. This was always going to be temporary. Again, this question, was humanity's end determined from the beginning? Technological civilizations are built off natural resources, energy, and the mindset to exploit these resources for gain. The evolutionary process elevates the most competitive and exploitive species, and thus the very reason of humanity's so-called success will be the likely cause of our now inevitable collapse. Where does this leave us? So many that I once thought I knew, I now realize I didn't. How can so many sit idly by with so many atrocities taking place from the skies to the ground, converging insanity from every conceivable direction? Now is when we must choose to individually remember that no matter what anyone else in our world is doing or isn't doing, we're only responsible for ourselves, for what we choose to do or not to do with the time we've been given. Please consider that so long as you're still standing, it's never too late to begin a dedicated trek on the right path. As the proverb goes, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And as another proverb goes, the journey is the destination and the destination is the journey. And yes, I've stated that on this broadcast before, but I remember that every moment of every single day as I continue to trek in this endless battle of over 20 years for me now. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to make your voice heard in this all-important battle for everything that matters. Stay strong. Never yield to the collective insanity, ever. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.